Good morning. All right, it's Erev Chanukah. Parshat HaShavua is Parshat Miketz, which is usually the parasha that we read on Shabbos Chanukah. And of course, we are in the middle of the story of Yosef and his brothers. It's at the beginning of Parshat Miketz that Paro dreams a dream and he knows not what the meaning of the dream is. And all of his great advisors, his intellectuals, his sorcerers cannot tell him the dream. And then finally, an ungrateful butler, Sar HaMashkin, remembers, there was a Hebrew slave. A Hebrew slave down there in prison with us, and we dreamt, and he was the one who was able to interpret the dream. Anyway, Paro says, get him, they hurry him out of the pit, they wash him up, they clean him, they give him a haircut, they dress him, and all right, that begins the unexpected meteoric rise to power of Yosef from prison to the peak that anyone can reach in Mitzrayim. Only the king stands above him. And of course he tells them that there are going to be 7 years of plenty, and following the 7 years of plenty there are going to be 7 years of famine, and tells them what to do during the course of the 7 years of plenty in order to be prepared for the years of hunger, famine, and the 7 years are over. 7 years of plenty are over. The hunger has begun, and the hunger is very bad in the land of Egypt. Yaakov in Eretz Canaan, and Yaakov turns to his children and tells them to go down to Mitzrayim in order to buy provisions, because they've heard that in Egypt there is food. Okay, and they come to Mitzrayim. Let's read a number of psukim. Vayar Yosef et Achav, and Yosef saw his brothers, vayakirei, and he recognized them, vayitnaker lahem, and he acted like a stranger, a nochri, he acted like a stranger for them. He sees them, he recognizes them, and he doesn't say, chevra, no, cool. Not only does he make believe that he doesn't recognize them, he speaks to them in very harshly, by Yomer Aleim, and he said to them, Yayim Batem, where have you come from, by Yomer, where they said, Me'eretz Canaan, we've come to the land of Canaan, Lishbor Ochel, in order to buy food. Vayaker Yosef et Echov v'heim lo hikiruhu. Yosef recognized his brothers, and they did not recognize him. We've spoken in the past, and maybe next week we'll speak again about the mystery that I have not found an answer yet that satisfies me. How could they not recognize him? How could they not recognize him? All right, I know. Rashi, when he left, he didn't have a beard. Now he has a beard. Yeah. Now he has a beard, so they can't recognize him. You understand? Can't recognize him. But Rashi himself had said at the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev that not only whatever happened to Yaakov happened to Yosef, but Yosef was the spitten image of his father Yaakov. If they come into the presence of a fellow who looks like Yaakov, now he has a beard. Now Yosef certainly looks like his father. How come they don't recognize him? Well, there's tons of them. We've spoken about it in the past a few years ago. Maybe we'll go into it further if I can come up with anything new. What are you talking about? They don't recognize. They don't recognize. He recognizes.
Huh? They didn't expect to see him.
You want to drag me into that other shir? I see what you have in mind. What do you mean they didn't expect? People who've told that to me, I said, what do you think was the biggest story in the ancient world? Some Jew boy kid slave from the land of Canaan has risen to the top of the ancient Egyptian empire. What do you think people are talking about?
They know he was Jewish.
There were those who say, amazing, well, take a look. We can understand why this little boy is able to make it up. Take a look at all the Nobel Prizes these Jews get. Who didn't know the story?
Well, they didn't have iPods.
They didn't have what?
iPods.
They didn't need iPods for that. You think they didn't have information? They didn't know? The whole ancient world didn't know the story of Sophonas Panea, the slave, the man who's been running the country for the last 8 years. We're not dealing with that today. We're going to deal with another famous question. And in a moment, we'll get to it. Vayizkor Yosef et hachalomot, and Yosef remembered the dreams of Shechalam Lahem, that he dreamt about them. Vayomer aleihem, he said to them, Meraglim atem, you are spies, lirot et eretz ha'aretz batem, you've come here to see the nakedness of the land. Vayomeru elav, they said to him, Lo adoni, no my master, v'avodecho bo lish barocho, your servants have come in order to buy food, buy grain. Vayomer aleihem, and he said, no. You've come to see the weakness, the nakedness. Where are the weak points in this country? So let's begin by taking a few selections from number two. Number two is the Ramban. It's one of the famous Rambans in Chumash. And I'm not going to learn all of it, but we will give a jump around. You'll just follow me with the finger and you'll be okay. Vayizkor Yosef et hachalomot asher chalam lahem. Yosef remembered the dreams that he dreamt. Now the word lahem seems to be a little strange to them. So the Ramban says the meaning is aleihem. This is really quoting Rashi. Lahem can mean aleihem, the dreams that he dreamt about them. V'yoda shenitkaimu. Now he knows that they're going to be fulfilled. When they came in, they bowed down to him. He sees his dreams being fulfilled. What's significant in this pasuk, people don't notice it. You're going to notice it. What's significant over here is not what the pasuk says. It's what the pasuk doesn't say. It doesn't say that he remembered the pain that they caused him. It doesn't say he remembers being cast into a pit. It doesn't say that he remembers that they sold him into slavery. It doesn't say that he remembers all the years that he languished there in the dungeons of Mitzrayim. No. There isn't a negative thing he remembers. This man Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik for a very good reason. Only thing that he remembers that is significant when he sees them is he remembers the dreams. He remembers the dreams. They're going to be fulfilled. Lashon Rashi. That's what Rashi said. Ulfi Dati. Ramban says, according to my, the way I see things, Hadova Behetach. Precisely the opposite is what the pasuk is saying. Ki yomru hakatov, ki yomar hakatov, because the pasuk says ki bereot Yosef et echav mishtacham lo zochar kol hachalomot hasher chalam lehem v'yadar shelo nitkayim echad mehem batam azot. The Ramban takes a different tack than Rashi. He remembers the dreams, but you know what he knows right now? That up until this particular point, not a single one of them has been fulfilled. According to Rashi, it seems, well, the dreams are in the process of being fulfilled. No. The Ramban says, no, nothing has been fulfilled yet. I mean, it has to be 11 people that are bowing down to him. There are 10 fellows over here. Kiyodea Pitronan, he knew what the dreams meant. He knew the... All of his brothers are going to bow down to him at first, according to the first dream. The first dream was the Anachnu Ba'alamim Alumim, we're putting together sheaves of grain, and my sheaf of grain stood up, and all of yours bowed down, your stalks of grain, bundles of grain, bowed down before mine. Upam Sheni. No. So anachnu means 11 people. And then the second dream was the sun, the moon, and 11 stars are bowing to him. The Kiva, now that he didn't see Binyamin with them, there are no 11. Nothing had been fulfilled. According to Rashi, seems to indicate that, the dreams are being fulfilled. That's what Yosef thinks. No, Rabbi says no. Yosef knows that they're not being fulfilled. They're not being fulfilled. Since he didn't see Binyamin with them. So therefore, he begins this whole process of libel against them because he wants to achieve one thing, that they should come back and bring Binyamin with them, and then there are going to be 11 people who will be bowing down before him. Yes?
What about the sun and the moon?
About the sun and the moon? Well, I'll tell you about the sun and the moon. For all that thought you had me there. For a moment I thought you had me. The Ramban is talking about dream one. Dream one was 11 bundles bound down there. We don't deal with the fulfillment of dream two until we have fulfilled dream one. And it may very well be that Yosef knew that there's something problematic with dream two, because Shemesh V'Yareach would represent his father and his mother, and his mother is no longer alive. But dream one, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, got out of that. Yeah, go ahead.
But dream one, does it mention 11?
Oh, because he said us. Oh, so that's why the Ramban sort of says anachnu.
That's right, but it doesn't mention a number.
Yeah, but so the meaning of anachnu is we. We're all out in the field. That means there are 12 people in the field. That's why he's using the word anachnu to mean him, Yosef, and 11 brothers. Okay. So therefore, he takes this libel against them. Kadesh Yoviu Gam Binyamin. I know that there's a little bit cut off at that sheet. After 25 years of doing this, I still haven't learned. I need another 25 years of preparing these shiurim. Okay. So he wants to bring about is that Binyamin is going to come. Lekayem Hachalom Hadishon Tchilaot. Just be Zeshach. The Ramban is saying that in order to fulfill first dreams first. Al Rishon Malachon Achon. Al Kelu Rotzal Hagidlan. Therefore, he didn't want to say to them, just blurt out, Ani Yosef Achecham, I am your brother Yosef. We would have expected him. He sees his brothers. Lanslein, Tinda Al Tahaim, somebody that he can talk Hebrew with, you know, knock around a little bit in Ifrit, you know, find out about how the old home is doing. That we would have thought would be the very first response. No. He doesn't tell them, I'm your brother Yosef. The language, he doesn't say to them, Maharu Valu Elavi, hurry and go up to my father, as he's going to say next week, Seder. And he doesn't send the wagons, Kasher also in the Pamashni, as he did. All of these things he did the second time around. He didn't do the first time. If he would have done this, Hayoviv Bo Miyad, his father would have come immediately, without doubt. Acharei Shemeskayim Achalom Hashem, he gid lehem lekayem Achalom Hashem. Now, it says, therefore, Yosef remembered the dreams. He remembered there were two dreams. There was one, and there was two. First thing he has to see is that first is fulfilled. First has not been fulfilled, now Binyamin is missing. The Lulei Kay, if not for the fact that Yosef wants to make sure that his dreams are going to be fulfilled, Yosef Chote Ched Godol, Yosef would sin a terrible sin, the Tzayir and Aviv, to cause his father pain, Ulahamido Yomim Rabin, Bishchol Ve'Evel, Al Shimon Ve'Olav. If not that he had, and I'm afraid to say that I don't really understand it that well, in other words, the Ramban is saying, you know what's more important than Kiburav? You know what's more important than the pain and the mourning of his father? The dreams have to be fulfilled. And you know what's even more fascinating? He has to fulfill them. Strange. Next column. Even if his will would have been with Sayed at the half to cause his brother's pain, Ksatz, you know, little pain, not very pain, just throw them at the jail and tell them that they're spies. And you know what happens to spies, you know? You know what happens to spies? Spies are not long for this world. Just a little tsar, the Rambam says. Iflo Yachmel al Seva Sovik, how doesn't he have mercy, pity, compassion, concern about his old father? Avo, the Rambam's position is summed up in the next sentence. Et hakol asa yafeh bito. Yosef did everything beautiful in his time. Lekayem hakalomot, to make sure that the dreams are fulfilled, ki yada, because he knew sheyit kaimu be'emet, they are indeed going to be fulfilled. All right. Before I want to learn the last paragraph, but before I do that, I want to go to number 3, the Akedat Yitzchak. The Timhani Mimasha Katav Rambam. I'm so surprised about what the Ramban wrote. Number 3, Akedat Yitzchak was one of the great Mefarshim of 400 years ago. Rav Yitzchak Arava. The Timhani is what Mimasha Katav Rambam, that the Ramban wrote. What's the Rambam talking about? Kimat to'elet lo sheyit kaimu chalomotav? What's the benefit to him that his dreams are going to be fulfilled? And is this what he needs?
Yeah,
this is what he needs. I mean, this is like an important dream that has to be fulfilled. V'afim tiyet to'elet lo lo yhoye lo lachton k'neged aviv. Even if there would be some benefit to him from having these dreams fulfilled, why does he sin against his father? Forget about the chalomis already. V'chalomot. Here the Akedat Yitzchak is going to make a comment that Nechama Leibovitz does not like at all. And she's right. I think she's right, you know. V'chalomot. What about the dreams? So the Akedat Yitzchak says 4 words. Noten ha-chalomot yargish pitronam. The one who gives the dreams, he will also bring it to fulfillment. Where the dream came from, the Rebbeinu Shlom. Krank is the Rebbeinu Shlom to take care that it has to be fulfilled. He has to fulfill it. I have to make sure that it's fulfilled. Now the fact is that's not really borne out in Tanakh. There are many people in Tanakh who knew because God told them what's going to happen, that didn't stop them from actively working to get it done. Man has a responsibility. You don't just sit back. The Lord said we're going to get Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so I'm going to sit over here and wait whenever I get it. You know, you'll just send the Mashiach with a ticket for me and it'll gain. There's no such thing in Torah. Gideon had a dream that he is going to destroy the camp of the Midianites. Didn't stop him from taking his people, dividing them into 3 groups, giving them torches, giving them jugs, giving them shofarot for the attack in the middle of the night. So many of the great events in Tanakh history we knew in advance. Why does Yaakov have to put his entire camp on a war footing when Esau is coming toward him? God said that I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to bring you back to your father's house. The one who made the promise, go! Fulfill the promise. It's not Torah. Yes. Well, I'm being very nice to you today.
Well, it's usually the case where there's a nevuah.
Little louder, please.
Where there's a nevuah, you have to ensure that the nevuah comes true. And that the Navi has to make sure that he fulfills what the nevuah is. How does this actually affect a dream? I mean, a dream isn't a statement.
The dream is a prophetic dream. This was not just, we had a dream. The Gemara itself says that there's a whole sugya at the end of the Sechta Brachos about the meaning of dreams. Dreams are a miniature of Nevuah. Dreams that great people have are far more than that. They come very close to Nevuah. Yeah, yeah. That means this is real. But in Yadut, it is always that we have to do whatever we can. We don't leave things to chance and sit back. We dream our dreams and let the Gemara Yisrael sweat and get it all done. So there the Akedat Yitzhak is, well, questionable. When he says, the one who gives the dreams, let him give the interpretation of dreams. No, it doesn't work. It goes on to say, Gam sheti tida'es sichlut, it seems foolish. Sichlus atzuma, terribly foolish. That a person should try to fulfill his dreams. Dreams are things that are going to happen without the one who dreamt it knowing anything about it. That's open to question. But all right, what it still means is the real question that he asked is, Yosef, you want your dreams fulfilled, but wait a minute. There's the tsar of your father on the other side. Does the fulfillment of your dreams outweigh the pain of your father? Now, the last paragraph of the Rambam. Left hand side, the Chenani Omer. I say, he still continues, he says, because Yosef was so wise in understanding dreams, all of this, he's gonna play it all out to the end. He's gonna maneuver, he's gonna arrange things. I was even ready to say manipulate events and people in order to make sure that the dream is gonna be fulfilled. This is the great question. The Ramban's great question. That resounds and resonates across the centuries. You have to ask the question. After Yosef was in Mitzrayim so long, at first he was in charge of the house of a great officer and a minister in Mitzrayim. How didn't he send a letter? Didn't he send a letter home to his father to say, Pa, I'm okay, wish you were here. I'm not writing for money, I don't need money, I'm okay, I'm doing well here in Egypt. How doesn't he write a letter home?
He would have had to explain anyone.
Not fair.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, we're gonna go. Okay, let's go step by step, watch. So he says, Ki Mitzrayim karov l'chevron ki shisha yomim. Mitzrayim is very close to Chevron, it's about 6 days journey, right? A 6 day journey on a donkey or maybe less on a horse. 6 days journey, no, what's a 6 days journey? Okay, could have said the letter. And if the distance would have been, they would need to travel a year. For your royal idea, he should have notified his father. The Yekar Pidyon Nasho Yivdenubro Mamon. And you know what happened? He would notify his father. His father would redeem him and ransom him and would do everything in his power in order to remove Yosef from its time. This is before Yosef becomes the great king. He's in charge of the house of Potiphar. So the Ramban is going to go on to say, according to what he's been saying up until now, he can't. can't do that, because then it may mean that his dreams are not going to be fulfilled. His father has to come to him, preferably not knowing that he is Yosef. And he says it can't happen in Eretz Yisrael, it has to be here. V'hayom kavel yoto shom mitzrayim b'rotar tzachato ha'gedola sham kol shen acharei sheshoma halom paro shenizbaro lo ki yavo kulom shoma yitkan kol ha'edah. Especially since he had interpreted the dream of Paro, so he knew that the whole world is going to have to come to Mitzrayim, and his father is going to go with them. Okay? That's what the Ramban has to say about why he didn't send a letter. He didn't send a letter because he had to make sure that the dreams play themselves out. The question of the Akedat Yitzchak is still a question. You know, when you have to weigh the pain of his father, Yosef should have said, I don't care about the dreams, I care about my father. Alright. A great deal has been written about this over the years, and number four, you may wonder, I call it Upshot. Upshot. How important who said it? One of the great teachers of Tanakh in our generation, right here in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? What's that? You want to know what his initials are? In an article written some years ago, this great teacher of Tanakh came up with what he believes is the real answer. And here it is, the thrust of what he said is in four. Inui ha-nefesh shel Yosef, the pain of Yosef's soul, mitmakeid v'dmud d'yukno shel aviv. It's concentrated on the image of his father. The image of his father comes to him time and time again. And you know what he can't understand? This is most probably as he is down there deep in the dungeon. Why did my father send me to my brothers? Why did he send me to Shechem to see how the Fashlugin and Sheep are doing? Madua Shochani Abba Achim, why did he send me? V'chilodot Abba Kama Mesukonim Hem Shimon V'Levi, didn't father know how dangerous Shimon and Levi are? Why did he send me? Ma Amru Lo Ha'achim B'Chazram, what did the brothers tell father when they finally went home from Shechem? Amnam lo yada abba, didn't father know? Davo b'chol ma'aseh, father didn't know anything about what they were doing? Ein manos, there is no way to get away. There's no possibility of getting away. These questions trouble Yosef, and therefore Yosef arrives at a conclusion. Ein manos ol min hamaskana hachadaketa. There is no way to be able to escape this conclusion that is sharp like a razor. Ha'achim shichnu et abba lefanav acharav. This was a plot. My father was in on the plot. The brothers convinced father that I am a grave danger to this whole family. I'm tearing the family apart, and I have to be removed from the scene. He's setting up the mind, that this is the mindset of a Yosef who's down there deep in the dungeon. It's dark, it's cold, it's damp, there are rats running around. You know, we can make a real picture of what a, you know, something out of Les Miserables. Or when I was arrested and taken to Midrash Rosin. I can tell you what it's all about. I'm kidding. So this is what he says. You know what happened over there? Yosef has this terrible question that's bothering him. Why did father send me there? Doesn't father know how they feel about me? The only answer he can arrive at is, Father knew, and Father was in on it, and they're all against me. I should send a letter home. Who's going to be happy if I send a letter home? V'yisurei nefesh elu kovu hashlamash geta. This inner suffering of Yosef finally reached a point where he made peace with the idea. The family doesn't want him. Nobody wants him. His father doesn't want him. His brothers certainly don't want him. Borel Yosef, it has become clear down there in the dungeon to Yosef, Sholov livnot et chayav michutz lebeit aviv. He's going to have to build his own life outside the house of his father. Lefichach, kasher nolad b'charo b'mitzchayim. This is the only semi-answer that he gives. When his firstborn was born in Egypt, Hotzi Yosef et kol asher b'lito. You know what Yosef did? Everything that was in his base heart, everything that was in his heart came out, and he called his name Menashe. King Nashani Elohim et kol amali. God has made me forget all of my suffering. That kol beit avi, I forgot it all. I've put them behind me. That's the sheikh. That's the sheikh.
Revolting.
Yes.
Was that actually saying that Yaakov thought about, or Yosef thought about that?
These are the hallucinatory thoughts of an Ishtanach who has created. This is the path. Why didn't he send a letter? Because he knows he's finished with the house of Yaakov. Yaakov is against him. He hates him. They want to be rid of him. They don't want him. None of this actually happened. This all happened in the feverish mind of the guy that wrote the chat. Now, what do we do about it? So, I had given an answer some years ago. I'll get to that. But I was thrilled, you cannot imagine. I was thrilled when I found, the first time I found, Hanan Porat, Zechreinu Livracha, gave the same answer I gave, except that he used a story of Agnon to explain the pshat. Let me tell you a little story from Agnon. He was big, Hanan Porat was big into literature. And here it's great. It's great. A story by Shai Agnon called Vehaya He'akov Lemishor. That which was crooked, the Navi Yeshayahu says, that which is hilly is going to become straight. Everything will become straight. The story is told the following. The central character in this story is a fellow called Menashe Chaim HaKavtzim. Menashe Chaim is a pauper. He goes around collecting money. He knocks up doors, he stops people in the street. He goes collecting money. His wife decides one time to advise him, go elsewhere, go to strange foreign lands and do it there. Why not do it there? What do you have to do it right here? At home? Huh? Menashe Chaim says, no, it's not even here. You know, you go raise money, you go to Chutzlar or someplace. Off you go. But before he goes, he has a letter of recommendation from the Rav of the city of Buchach. All of Agnon's story take place in Buchach, because that's where he was born. That's the venue for the stories of Agnon. So Menashe Chaim the captain, gets a letter from the Rav of Buchach saying that this is an honest captain, he's a good captain, he's in need of money. And off Menashe Chaim goes into the big wide world. During the course of all his wanderings, he meets different people, and one day another captain convinces him for a good price, sell me that letter of recommendation. The Chosher Gachov, the Chosher Buchach, we charge it up. Sell it to me. You know what he does? Menashe Chaim sells him the letter of recommendation.
Oh.
And this other fellow starts going around collecting money. He's Menashe Chaim. Who knows the difference out there? One day, they find the counterfeit Menashe Chaim dead on the highway somewhere.
Oh.
The only thing that he has to identify him is this letter from the Chabad in charge that Menashe Chaim is a good counselor. Oh, the Chabad would charge another Chabad and get together. What are we going to do? Is this enough evidence in order to permit his wife to get married? And they finally passed him. They finally passed him that who are Kindle Charna. She's Kindle Charna. Kindle Charna can get married because her husband Menashe Chaim is dead, and she gets married. One day, Menashe Chaim decides he's going home. He's going home. Before he arrives in the city, he talks with somebody and he finds out that there's a bris tomorrow in town. Kindle Charna had a baby boy. Menashe Chaim has to make an important decision. If he goes into Bachach, he's going to destroy his wife utterly. He's going to turn her child into a mamza.
Yeah.
He's going to bring such terrible destruction on an innocent family. So Menashe Chaim turns around and he says he's going off to a graveyard someplace.
Oh.
And he's going to live out the rest of his days in the graveyard.
Oh.
That's the story of Menashe Chaim. Interesting, of course, that his name is Menashe. Huh? Now, I want you to read, we're going to read one sentence in Agenon. It's unbelievable. Number five. Menashe Chaim decides that he's leaving. Agenon writes, Kichas Menashe Chaim al kvod ishto. Menashe Chaim has great compassion for the honor of his wife. Val kvod zara, the honor of her seed, her child, this boy that's going to have a bris tomorrow. Because if he walks into town, they're going to make her be divorced from her husband. V'yasu v'no mamza, they're going to turn her son into a mamza. V'ochaz b'felach hashtika. We're going to see in a moment the meaning of this expression. Ochaz b'felach hashtika. He held on a felach. We're going to see what a felach is. Let's say he decided to enforce silence upon himself. Not going in. Nobody will ever hear from him again. Nobody will ever see him. He's going to wander the world. And for all intents and purposes, I imagine the imagery of living in a Beit Kvarot is he's dead to the whole world. Better that he, Menashe Chaim, should be uprooted from two worlds. But his dear wife, Chaindel Khanna, dare not be shamed and embarrassed and destroyed. That's the end of Menashe Chaim. There's the answer. And the answer. This is what I said years ago. This is what he says. Yosef doesn't know what's happening at home. He doesn't know what story has been told at home. He's pretty certain that if his father gets a letter from him, there's going to be an uproar and an explosion in that house. I want to know the truth now. What happened to Yosef? Chayarol Egypt, you brought me his Tomek Pasim. What happened? You know what's going to happen now? The destruction of the entire family of Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, utterly destroyed, never to be put together again. But Amnon used a fascinating phrase. Ochaz, he held on to Pelach. A Pelach is a spinning needle. The spinning needle of silence. What's the spinning needle of silence? So if you take a look quickly at number 7, and then we'll go to number 6, which is going to explain it all. Does that sound familiar to you? Your deho shilcha bakishor v'chapeho tom hufala kapa parasol yom yodeh shilchola. I only need the middle sentence. Let's read it. Eishes Chayil, Friday night, Eishes Chayil. She sees that her business goes well, her lamp does not go out at night. She holds the distaff in her hand. I don't know what a distaff is. I don't have enough chance. It's a stick. I thought it's some kind of stick, but it's a stick. Most probably that's part of the spinning, the operation of spinning something. Okay. And then grasps the spindle in her palms. The pelach. When the pasuk uses it, the pasuk uses the term pelach to describe the wisdom of women, the wisdom. Where did Agnon get that? Where did Agnon get that phrase from? That's not an Agnonian phrase. Ochaz the Pelach Hashtikas. The Hanan Parat finds it, of course. It's a sort of a famous medrash. Medrash in Esther. Ain Esther Magedan number 6. Ain Esther Magedan. A lot of time Esther does not tell where her birthplace. Esther falls silent. All of Ahasuerus' attempt at getting Esther to tell her family, nothing. Melane?
She was told not to.
She was what?
She was told not to say anything.
I understand, that's fine. You know, it's pretty good for Mordechai to tell her not to say anything. And here is the king of the entire realm, who's a Hashtik murderer, who's able to take his own wife and hang her. And, you know, a big deal, you know. Mordechai, you come in here and you listen to her. Sure, she was told not to. But the Megillah is saying she was told not to, and with great bravery and strength, she doesn't. Ain't Esther Magedet Malanda. Esther doesn't tell. Malame, so the Medrash says, Malame Shatovso Shtiko Ba'atzma. Wait a minute. She held on to silence. Ki Rachel Zekenta. Like her bubba Rachel. Shetovso Pelach Shtika. Her sister's been taken to the chuppah to marry the one who she's looked forward to for all these years to marry. Leah is going to the chuppah. I'm supposed to be the one to go to the chuppah. She could very well have exploded into a paroxysm of anger. Yato! It's phony! Ochza b'telach hashtika. She held on to the wisdom of silence. Ro'aso siblonotel b'yarachota. She saw all of the wedding gifts in the hand of her sister. The shotka. And she remained silent. This is an awesome medrash. Watch. Binyamin b'nah. Her son Binyamin. Tafas b'shtika. He also had learned the art of silence. Teda. Proof. Sha'avno sha'hita b'choshen ha'ita yoshve. Justy. We once talked about it. That the stone in the choshen mishpat of the Kohen Gadol, the gem, the emerald, the diamond, the precious stone of Binyamin was called Yoshve. And the Gemara and the Medrash say, You know why that was his stone? Because Yoshpe stands for Yesh Peh. He has a mouth. And he knows what the brothers did to Yosef. And he remained silent. Loma, Yodeya Hayyad and the Pidas Yosef, he knew about the sale of Yosef, Vishotek, and he remained silent. Yoshpe, Yeshpe, Vishotek. He has a mouth, and he remains silent. Ah, it goes down the generations. Shaul ben Manoah, Shaul, who's to become the first king of Israel, an enagel of Rachel. After he has been anointed by Shmuel, he comes home and he meets his uncle, and his uncle asks him, well, what happened on this great trip? You know, we would have thought that, Dove, you know what happened? I just been anointed king of Israel. There's Dvar HaMeluchah Lo Higid Lo. He said, we were told where the donkeys are, didn't tell him anything about the fact that he had been anointed the first king of Israel. Esther. Finally, we've gone from Rachel to Binyamin to Shaul, and now we come to Esther. Ein Esther Magedet Molavata Be'et Ama. She doesn't say where she was born, what her people are. And you know what the Medrash is saying? It's not because Mordechai told her. You know why she doesn't do it? Is another. Rachel has another son. That only be young, and she has Yosef. You know how Yosef reacts? Ochas Pelach Hashtika. He decided to remain silent because if he speaks, he may destroy the whole family. There's no way in the world that he can know what had happened at home. That's why he doesn't send a letter home. The letter can be destructive. It can be a force of such upheaval in the family. And the purpose of Sefer Bereishis is that we should be able to finally have a family that lives together in harmony and peace, so that they should become the foundation of a Klal Yisrael. Yosef can destroy Klal Yisrael with one little postcard. You know what Yosef decides? We can call Yosef Agnon's Menashe Chaim. He's Menashe Chaim. He is not going to take the chance of upsetting an entire family. Good.
Couldn't it be that Yaakov, he knew that they had to go to Egypt from Abraham? And he knew about the dream, and he felt that he wasn't dead, and Yosef was alive. So he knew it was going on, and he knew this is part of that they have to end up in Egypt.
And obviously we have to say that he didn't know. Because he mourns.
For
22 years he mourns. No, because he is not privy to this information. This information can only make a difference to him if God lets him know that all of the pieces are coming together. He doesn't know. History in his own life is unfolding. Yeah, he may have known that there was a Brit Bein HaBetachim, but God said your people are going to be enslaved for 400 years. By the way, it never said over there that it's going to be Mitzrayim. He has no way of knowing anything. The fact is he knows that Klal Yisrael is going to survive forever, but that doesn't mean that he knows every step of the way. Yosef doesn't write a letter home because it would have been absolutely destructive and shattering to an entire family. You look pained. What's the pain?
Was he punished?
Smile, it's such a great...
Was he punished for not communicating with his...
Was he punished for not...
communicating with his father for the 22 years?
If the reason why he's not communicating is that Yaakov's family shouldn't be destroyed, really? Is there greater kibud av than that? Is kibud av expressed only by sending a letter, though it will destroy the father? Or is kibud av fulfilled by not sending a letter? she went out. You have twice, just one. You got the one. Yeah, go ahead.
But you did say also that he felt that there was a flash.
Oh, wait. Oh, could you ask that?
Ways of looking at
That's nonsense. The guy made it up. That's ridiculous.
Who made it up?
The anonymous man. Don't believe a word of number four. Don't believe
that anonymous man.
Who's that anonymous man? I'm not even going to give you his initials. I said that. Don't think that number four, there is no truth. It's ridiculous. It's nonsense. It's fantasy. Am I supposed to believe some of the other fantasies that I read in different places? About Yitzchak thinking that he's Avram is taking him to the Akedah because Avram loves Yishmael and wants to get rid of Yitzchak? Have you ever heard anybody say that about the Akedah? Have you ever heard anybody say that that Yitzchak really loved Esau and couldn't care at all about Yaakov? These are people who are making up their own pshatim, and this is the destruction of Torah. Number four over here is the destruction of Torah.
Thank you.
Now we know.
That was the whole point of the show. Am I happy that you asked that question? Am I happy with it?
Well,
cross it out. Take your pen out, you understand, and cross out number four.
Psychological understanding of people. It illustrates psychological underpinnings of people's actions.
But we can't take the great people of our history, the people who've made an awesome difference in the world, and we little peanut brains over here in 2011 are putting them out on a couch, and we decided they were obsessed and they were sick and they were plotting and they were killers. Chas v'shalom, so the Eibishter upheaving. Torah is holy. Torah is true. Torah is the very essence of our life. No, we cannot psychoanalyze them. No, I reject that. Out of hand.
I accept it.
Good.
Because I think that's one of the greatest of the Torah, that it does show people as they are, how they have risen above their general. But you know, that's right. Yosef's fevered mind down there.
He figures out that his father is out after him. God, save me from this. One moment. Jaspi? This is your third.
Wasn't Yaakov away from his father for 22 years?
Yeah, we know.
And this is the...
Yeah, you know what? So therefore what?
So therefore, this was the punishment that Yaakov had, that he didn't have to clear the girls at the 22 years, because he didn't contact, wasn't in contact with his father.
Yeah, you know what? So you're making one up yourself. These are divine cheshbonos. 22 here, 22 there. That's fine. It's all wonderful. Yes, Yaakov himself said that he felt terrible about the fact that his brother Esau was at home and fulfilled kibbutz av ve'em during all the years. That kind of kibbutz, you understand? Yitzchak and Rivka had nachas from that guy, Batiel Moras Ruach. He was Moras Ruach to them. Bam. So therefore, 22 years he was away. And wait a minute, there was not something divine about those 22 years? 12 shvatim are born to that so-called sinner who's away for 22 years. 12 shvatim, Klal Yisrael is born. They come on Aliyah. Don't you give credit for coming on Aliyah with little kids, you understand? Doesn't have a job. Somebody must have told them the Jewish agency, you know, you understand? Tavo, and we'll see if we can find something for you. All right, just one more. Okay. Yeah.
Well, this is, Ken, yes? Two things. The first thing is we have to look at the union of of Yosef and Yaakov. We have to see when they do meet the reactions, and we do not get a sense of why didn't you write. It's you don't get that sense. You get a sense of reunion. That's one point I want to make. And
but that's a good point. Just hold on. Let the point sink in. Point is that when you take a look at the union when they meet for the first time, there's an overwhelming sense of great love between the two of them. Yosef is not the diseased mind who thinks his father is was out after him. Mm-hmm. What does he say to the brothers? Maharu v'alu alavim. After he finally reveals himself to them, hurry, go up to my father. What does he ask every time they come? How's your old father? How's he doing? What's happening with him? This is the kind of son who in his feverish mind has decided that his father wants to rub him out. Go ahead.
The second point is, you mentioned about the destruction of a family, that Joseph didn't want that, but he wants even more. He wants there to be a family, and the only way there can be a family is if there's children. And he has to get
I hear what you're saying. It sounds like very much like
one of your
gold. I was going to say gold. 1992, you understand? You can't fool gold on gold.
22 years was also
forgiven. That was a great year. Maybe next week I'm going to have to use parts of that year in order to. But right now I don't know what next year, week's year is going to be about. I may deal with the old question that has bothered me for so many years. And I'm coming to another point. How did they recognize him? They talk with him, they sit with him, they eat with him. They debate with him, they argue with him.
It happened to me.
I don't want to start off with you. I have great respect for you.
My grandson-in-law shaved his beard. He came an Aliyah from America. I did not know who he was.
There are 11 brothers, and one of them is his own flesh and blood, Binyamin. 11 people don't recognize him. That's not the story with your brother or your uncle or your aunt. No, your aunt didn't shave your cousin. It's Nish, Chava. I like him, but this is Nish. The number one. I want to end this year with 2 points. Reiterate 2 points. Number one. Beware of all sorts of fancy pshatim that are clearly. The creation of fertile minds. I was going to say sick, feverish, others.
So why did you bring it to us?
Because you have to know it. You can read nearly every week in some of our newspapers that are everybody, and you'll see sick parashat hashavua. Oh, yeah. That's why you have to know it. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, the idea, you can tell an answer that's true, it goes into the neshama. Yosef ochaz pelech hashtika. Hashtika. What his mother did, Esther did, Shaul did, Binyamin did, shtika is the mark of the family of Rachel. That's what it's all about. And you know what? Another reason. Torah says, you come here, we give you, you give me 1 hour, and I give you Torah says. Okay, the last question. Yes?
I just wanted to say that the second dream came true. We're the second dream, and we go to Kedar Rachel, we go to Kedar Arba, we go to Kedar Yosef. We're the second dream come true.
How do you like this? Did you hear what this lady said? We are the fulfillment of the second dream. We go to Dachan by Kever Rachel. There are those who make their way in the middle of the night to Kever Yosef.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, the important thing is, Freilich and Chanukah, Chanukah Sameach, and Mitzvah Hashem. We will have class next week. Have a wonderful day.